Well, it's always a great morning when Cindy Gallup is in the studio with us, the best-dressed human being in radio. She's the advertising consultant and former chairman of the advertising agency BBH. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, guys. Great to be here.
We've got a lot to talk about here. I wanted to begin with, you know, something that an ad exec told me last week when I was talking to him, that as these car bailout headlines emerge day to day, week to week, the advertising industry, every time cash comes out of the tarp and goes to GM, some of it goes to the ad agencies that make the car ads that we continue to see on television. Is there a bailout for the ad industry going on in this whole car debacle?
Well, unfortunately, there isn't, because the ad industry continues to be under enormous pressure in these very tough times. So, no, it's not benefiting them at all, I hasten to add.
But you are following it pretty closely, because a lot of the accounts are dependent upon the status of whether these companies are bankrupt or not.
No, absolutely. And, in fact, what is happening in the car industry has tremendous ramifications for the advertising agencies that work with them.
Well, among the ramifications, of course, is the style of the ads. I mean, how do you come up with an ad in economic hard times, and where does the rule book go in this environment? Listen to this.
Domino's oven-baked sandwiches beat the taste of Subway's 2-1. Then Subway's lawyers sent us this letter demanding we pull our commercials off the air. I was going to burn the letter, but everything's better when it's oven-baked.
It's the latest advertising campaign by Domino's chief rival, Subway Sandwiches. So as the economy begins to decline, are the gloves coming off in the ad world?
They are indeed, and it's a huge mistake, John, because
really?
What I tend to say is that many things that are true in life are also true in business. And a fundamental life truth is that we are enormously attracted to confidence. At any party, the biggest group of people will be around the person who projects most self-belief and self-confidence. The same is true of business. It's the brands that project most confidence in themselves that can sell themselves on their own merits and not attack the competition that ultimately will succeed.
Well, so wait a minute. You're saying that I may be really entertained by an attack ad, but I'm less likely to go and buy a product from the company that's making the ad?
Well, I think the inherent danger in attack ads, interestingly, is best exemplified by a tactic in the rivetingly appalling reality show Temptation Island. You may remember this from a few years ago, the show that dropped a number of theoretically committed straight couples into a tropical paradise and then hived the men off into a camp full of gorgeous women and the women off into a camp full of gorgeous men and sent them on dates and put them in the way of temptation. One of the brilliantly evil things the producers did in that show was, before they did that, the male half of the couple was allowed to stipulate two guys that the female half could not go on dates with, and the female half was allowed to do the same with the girls. What that had the effect of was making each half of the couple instantly massively interested in the people that the other half of the couple had said they couldn't date. So actually, the danger in attack ads is that when you highlight a competitor, people go, wow, you know, they're obviously worried. That competitor's worth looking at. Let's check them out.
You got to have a degree in psychology to be in the ad business, that's for sure. Okay, so here's a friendly approach.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Action! Action! Action!
Zoom tight, you okay?
No, I'm not okay. I have that virus that's going around.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, you better stay back. This one's a doozy.
That's okay, I'll be fine.
No, do not be a hero. Last year, there were 114,000 known viruses for PCs.
PCs, not Macs. So, you just grab this one.
I think I got a crash.
Hey, if you feel like that'll help, good.
Okay, Cindy Gallup, it's fabulously entertaining. Does that work? It technically qualifies as a Mac attack ad, right?
Absolutely. And it's one of two of the most successful examples of this genre, the other one being Coke versus Pepsi. In the case of Mac versus PC, they have three things going for them. The first is that they absolutely took on a fundamental cultural fact that people make a choice between Mac and PC. Secondly, Apple is coming from the challenger brand position, so there's a very clear framework for why it would be doing this. And thirdly, it's done in an enormously entertaining and witty way. In the ad industry, it's absolutely never just what you do, it's the way that you do it. Mm. And they've done it brilliantly.
They have done it absolutely brilliantly. But what do you think, we don't have tape of it, but the sort of reverse ads, which say basically, you know, they're PC ads that say for the half the price of a Mac, you can get the same functionality with a PC. Do you like those in the way that they're done? Or?
Well, the interesting thing there is that they're going in on a purely rational proposition, and they haven't done it with the charm and the wit and the entertainment value that the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC campaign has.
But it's the great fight between the rational proposition. Because,
absolutely.
I mean, Macs actually weigh more than PCs.
Person.
They weigh more. Mm. Macs are heavier than PCs, even though the guy in the commercial is lighter. And as you say, they do
but
cost more.
But they're shiny.
Yeah. Well, what's the ad challenge for this really serious problem that GE has to deal with here. Let's listen to a little of this.
Let's be completely honest. No company wants to go through this. But we're not witnessing the end of the American car. We're witnessing the rebirth of the American car.
Now that's General Motors trying to say, hey, we're still here. Does that work?
I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, John, about things are true in life, are true in business. In life, when somebody is apologizing for what they've done previously and saying they'll be better going forwards, we look for two things to assure us that they're sincere. We look for the tone of voice that demonstrates sincerity, and we look for them to demonstrate what they're saying through their actions. In my view, this advertising that is running currently is adopting exactly the same declamatory tone of voice that was used in much better times, and we're not currently yet seeing the actions that demonstrate they mean what they're saying. That, to me, is the drawback of that approach in advertising.
So it doesn't project confidence, and you say that's the key?
It's less, in this particular case, we're not looking for them to project confidence, actually. We're looking for them to be utterly sincere about the fact that they've screwed up and things are going to be different going forwards. And that is not what's coming through.
So sincerity precedes confidence. Just one of the rules to live by, according to Cindy Gallup, advertising consultant and former chairman of the advertising agency BBH. Thanks so much. That was fascinating.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.